it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the 15th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the six-time world champion New England Patriots select Mac Jones.
There is a block and touchdown pass. Aguilar from the rookie Mac Jones. His first NFL touchdown pass.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Everything sounds better if Kevin Harlan narrates it. So now I think Mac Jones is amazing.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, that's all I needed. I just needed to hear right between the eyes. I just needed a little Harlan, and now we're fine. I'm also really excited because, and you'll remember this, producer Lucas was unable to help me because he has not lived enough years on planet Earth yet. But was it Home Improvement that had the little neighbor that was always looking over the fence?
Yep.
What was that guy's name?
I can't remember his name. He's the dude with the beard.
Yeah. Just looking at, well, no, the dude with the beard was the right-hand man.
Sure.
I don't think he was the neighbor.
Yeah, that was one of the shows that I probably have seen zero episodes of.
Really?
Never seen it yet.
So how are you able to confirm what I'm asking?
Because I know the bit, and there were memes about it, and that show was on for a long time, and I know that was a part of the legacy of the show.
Grandy's got a Googler, and he says Wilson.
Wilson Jr.
Wilson Jr.
Yep.
Was also the other character in the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. Was also Wilson. Same guy, actually. Same actor. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is a stupid reason, but maybe some of you were tapped into this a little bit on YouTube. We got a lot of monitors here in the room with us. We're doing a show, and there's a lot of monitors.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is about where I put, because Steiny puts his chair all the way up. It's not even a chair anymore. Like, you can't put a butt in that. It's up above your shoulders. It's all the way. So every day I come in here when we switch suites, and I got to hit the button there on the right and hope that the chair actually works and move myself all the way down. And I sit in a certain spot, and then you pick your spot.
Yep.
And then these monitors are here. I can only see your eyes. So you look like we're doing the whole show, and you're looking at me like Wilson from Home Improvement.
Gotcha.
There's just this pair of eyes looking over this monitor at me. And it's got a little, like, there's like a little creepiness to it. And so Lucas came and fixed the monitor, and I could see your whole pretty face.
Yeah, and I moved my chair up because Guru is got to be 6'3".
A larger man than you.
And I'm 5'8", so the chair is always lower. And, you know, I don't always remember to bring the chair up because I'm not always thinking about the cameras and the lights. I'm just focused on you, the microphone, and the content. And, yeah, here we are.
Which is why it's so creepy because you're focused on me. But it's just eyes.
Just eyes,
it's just, there's no
eyes in the bald head above it.
I can't see your mouth. You're making a facial expression. I can't see it. It's just two eyes just staring at me over a monitor.
Yeah.
Telling me that the Niners are going to go 5-0 in the month of September with or without Brock.
I think they should be able to win on Sunday. And just thinking about the clip, the rejoiner, as we call it in the business, that Grandy played, and Mac Jones taking number 15 in that draft.
Yeah.
One of nine first-round picks in that draft who have made it to the Pro Bowl. And the Niners pick in that draft, not among them. But I just was looking at the draft, and so they go up to number 3 and they take Trey Lance.
Yep.
Listen to the names who went behind him. Kyle Pitts went number 4.
Been a disappointment.
Yeah, Pro Bowl.
I mean,
but
well, everyone goes to the Pro Bowl.
Not Trey Lance.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, you have to play to go to the
number
Pro Bowl.
Number 5, Jamar Chase.
That one worked out.
Jalen Waddle went 6. Hasn't been a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you know, worked out. He's a good player.
Penei Sewell went 7.
Huge, great player.
J.C. Horn for Carolina. He's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, good player.
Patrick Surtain the 2nd.
DPOY.
Right. Micah Parsons went 12.
I heard he's good.
And Rashawn Slater. A tackle, imagine that.
Just torn his ACL, but he's a great player.
Yep, and so those are the Mac Jones, a Pro Bowler, and then Najee Harris later in the first round, also a Pro Bowler, also dealing with some issues and problems.
Hashtag July 4th.
Right, but if you think about, like, the Niners and picks they could have had at three instead of...
Well, it depends on... You know. To me, there's two different drafts now. There's the draft, and then there's the quarterback draft. And it's kind of two different things, isn't it? Like, and you have to declare. It's almost like going into the final round there in poker. You got to declare, are you going high or low? And teams are like, we're in the quarterback draft. And then the other teams are like, we're over here in the regular draft. And I think being in the regular draft, you probably have a better batting average in the first round. Don't you think?
It depends on who you are.
Like the quarterback thing is a little bit harder to assess. And as I think you've been accurately throwing out there, you need to offer the quarterback a healthy enough organization so right. that they can come in and succeed. And not everybody has that. But they all think they do.
Yeah.
So they're going to grab you anyway.
Well, if you think about that draft, like the Jets take Zach Wilson. And the organization was not good enough. And he actually probably isn't good enough either. Although yeah. he is now still a backup. I have him here on my list. He's actually Miami's backup.
Yeah.
Yeah. 12-21 as a starter. And he still has a job. And, you know, Jacksonville took Trevor Lawrence and they had an okay organization at the time, and he had a good start to his career, and now they're trying to reboot it for the fourth different time. And Justin Fields in Chicago is another example where they were a bad organization, and now Justin's trying to reboot his whole thing again.
That one's going to be interesting in New York.
Yep.
Like, how often have the Jets been? It's like, oh, now we're with a good organization. The Jets? Okay. Maybe. Well, like, yeah. maybe.
New coaching staff.
Yeah, new coaching staff, right. And they scored a bunch of points the other day. They lost, but they scored a bunch of points. So for now,
might work.
I don't know. Hey, don't miss your San Jose Earthquakes taking on LAFC this Saturday, September 13th at Levi's Stadium. Enjoy a halftime music performance from Edgardo Nunez and a fan fest featuring a Blue Demon JR wrestling match. Plus, meet world champion boxer Eric Morales. And, let's see, Moise Muñez is going to be there. El Tri legend. Get your tickets today at sjearthquakes.com. And for a chance to win tickets to the game, go to 957thegame.com right now.
Okay.
And you can win your way in right there on the internet.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So, all right, 888-957-9570. Idris in Hayward. Is next up. Hi, Idris. Thank you for the call.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So, yeah, I got skin in the game. I got Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey on my fantasy football team. And when I found out about Brock, I actually wasn't that bothered because I was like, you know, Mac Jones. And I was like, as a starter, definitely fell off. But as a backup, and I saw that, we got Rattler next week, and then Kyler, who's still figuring out his life, and then Jacksonville? Oh, yeah. We got a great defense, if you saw them this past Sunday. I think we got a new kicker. I know the other one's gone.
Yep.
And I think Shanahan can run up some vanilla plays, you know, and actually I don't want him to coddle him because we saw what J.J. McCarthy did in the second half of the that game. Don't coddle him because he has experience. But just, you know, we don't got to. I think we should be fine, and hopefully we'll be talking about should Mac Jones start over Brock Purdy when they go 5-0?
Oh, God.
That's all I got, fellas.
Yeah, Idris.
Love that, Idris.
Idris knows that all of us, there's already that nightmare is out there. The guy hadn't even played yet.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee was talking about
it
today.
I was watching it this morning.
Yeah, what if he wins two games? Do we have a controversy? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
He ain't paying somebody $53 million. That guy.
And you can't lose your job due to injury.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Ask Alex Smith about that.
Yes, you can.
When he got hurt and he got replaced by Kaepernick and he never got his job back.
Ask David Lee about that.
That's yeah.
The birth of Draymond Green's career.
Yeah.
So, of course, you can. There's no rules. You lose your job as soon as somebody thinks somebody else can do better. That's all. Listen, I feel what I feel, I think what I think, and I'm saying what I'm saying, and please don't take it as I'm rooting against Mac Jones. That's bananas, which is probably a poor choice of words because someone on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line told me a short time ago that my head is shaped like a banana. So
what?
Maybe that's why my head is shaped like a banana. Okay.
I've never seen...
I love bananas.
Like, bananas are mostly, like, curved, right? I've never seen a straight banana.
I got some curves on my face. I have a nose.
Yeah, but your head is not shaped like a banana.
I don't know.
Might be shaped like a little bit of a pear with you know, the way your hair kind of is like the stem on the top, but not a banana.
All right, whatever.
That's crazy.
I love fruit. Freeze it. Put it in a smoothie. Let's
go. What's going on here?
Anyway, I want the Niners to. I want this to go great, and I'll share with everyone. Like we love to be open books. This is how this conversation got started today. Okay. A lot of us, as we all do, we start our day, we're tuned into 95.7 The Game, we're hearing what the roast is saying. We're also hearing and seeing what all of you are saying. Text line, YouTube chat, phone calls, Twitter, Instagram, we're seeing it. We see you. And Grandy threw out the concept of, I can't believe the reaction that I'm hearing, because a lot of people seem to think that this is just going to be fine. I think this is a disaster. And I kind of was like, I agree with you, because this isn't the Saints game. This is 2 to 5 weeks. It's week two, and the quarterback is already hurt. I find that to at least be a potential disaster. And your response was, it's no big deal.
Right.
And I that's where the conversation, I just want everybody to know what the basis of the conversation is.
Right.
Because it feels
right.
Like some people are heading down the road of like, I hate Mac Jones. I don't hate Mac Jones, a backup quarterback. But when to me, I said the same thing in the NBA season when Steph gets hurt. I say the same thing every year when any NFL quarterback goes down. When the quarterback goes down, it's a disaster.
Yeah, it's just not. Like, factually, it's not a disaster. And I've already given you the Jake Browning example. And, you know, Miami, when they lost Tua, they didn't lose every game.
They couldn't get a first down without Tua. And Jake Browning didn't take the Bengals to the playoffs.
He won almost as many games as Burrow did in that season.
But they didn't go anywhere.
But
they didn't win.
It doesn't matter. They were 9-8, and it wasn't a disaster. When they had the backup come in, he came out and he won four of the nine games that they played. They went 4-5.
If you don't think Tua injuries have been a disaster, you did not see any Miami Dolphin games. Tyreek Hill has not had a long catch in over a year. And that's largely because they had no quarterback, and it was a disaster.
Well, even when they had Tua, he still wasn't getting the long touchdown. Well,
he's only played a few games last year. Coming up today at 5, Valkyries close the regular season in Minnesota versus the top-seeded Lynx. Don't worry, they've already got a playoff spot, but their seeding is on the line tonight. They're the 6th seed if they win. If they lose, they're the 8th seed, and they have to play the Lynx again. And they're very good. So root hard. You can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. We're also sponsored by Moderna. Your call's next. And our Valkyries Superfan pods in an hour. This is Willard and Dibs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pressure on him, back foot for Bourne. Oh, what a connection, and Bourne stayed in.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Adam Amin with the call right there on Fox. And also, I guess this development, because Thursday is normally the day when the quarterback talks. But Brock Purdy's not going to talk.
No.
Brock Purdy's not playing this week. And it sounds like maybe Mac Jones won't either. Is that the word?
So the Niners media schedule said coordinators were going to talk, Saleh and Kubiak.
Yep.
And then they were going to be followed by Brock Purdy at the podium. And no one followed Kubiak. So it was just Saleh and Kubiak.
Just an empty podium.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of people on hand waiting for someone who never showed up? Did they get left hanging?
I don't know. I would imagine they probably knew going in down there.
All right.
Media website just wasn't updated.
Here's Ian Rappaport on NFL Network this morning.
Kyle Shanahan telling reporters yesterday that Brock Purdy is a long shot to play this week. It could be a multiple-week injury. My understanding is that Brock Purdy is out 2 to 5 weeks. 2 to 5 weeks for Brock Purdy with what is essentially a variant of turf toe. It is a ligament injury that affects the bottom of his foot. Call it turf toe if you want. That's basically what Kyle Shanahan has said. But 2 to 5 weeks for Brock Purdy, which would put him out at least the Saints game this week, the Cardinals game next week, and then we'll see. It is swollen. It is irritated. No one knows how it's going to react, but certainly it seems like the 49ers are looking at probably two starts for Mac Jones, their backup quarterback, and maybe more. And it's been tough early on for the 49ers, guys. I mean, obviously, you had the Christian McCaffrey minor injury to start out week one. He ended up playing. You have George Kittle on IR with a hamstring injury, another battery of injury for the 49ers. A lot of challenges early on.
Okay, so that last part, obviously, is well-traveled territory for 49er fans. Maybe this will do a better job of sort of explaining where I am on this. I found this to be interesting because, as you've said, okay, Brock Purdy is out, but they've got an experienced backup.
Right.
They brought in for this situation.
He'll be making his 50th career start.
Okay. How come at the summit last week, everybody freaked out when Christian McCaffrey was thought to be hurt?
Because you have a backup who has never played in the system before, and you don't know if he is going to actually be able to do what Christian McCaffrey does.
His backup has also never played in the system before.
Correct. So this is kind of his backup, McCaffrey's backup, is
a very
probably,
good player.
Yeah, we'll see.
Better at his position than Mac is at his.
That's
sure.
To be determined. You know, I think that, you know, Brian Robinson got basically traded for a song by the team that had him, and now he comes here and he's a backup. Mac Jones was now on his fourth team, and he's also a backup.
It's interesting to me because the comp is right there for everybody. All of the things that you've kind of said are why you wouldn't panic, and I don't want to speak for you. Maybe you weren't panicked last week, but
it was not at all.
Very, very clear that the audience we were talking to, and even a lot of our brethren here, the idea of Christian being hurt, the calf injury, the breaking news sounder, the moan that came over the crowd was very much, oh my God, this is a disaster. Now, a week later, the exact same thing happens, but it's not Christian, it's the quarterback, and the response seems to be, well, we're fine.
And not a disaster.
I just, like, and again, I don't want to speak for how you felt about Christian.
It's two different things,
but
though.
But that's what I'm observing that is, in my mind, is off course as far as a reaction. Because
it's two different things. One is a calf, which he already had a calf last year, and so you're thinking calf, Achilles, season over.
So you're thinking
this
season.
Is turf toe.
You're thinking season.
I think we all were.
Oh, I wasn't.
I was thinking he is not practicing. He's got a calf, and it's like, oh, Schmidt, this could be the same thing as last year, bilateral tendonitis, and he missed half the year because of that. And Brock Purdy has turf toe, and it's going to be 2 to 5 weeks. It might be fewer than two. It might be more than five. We don't know what it's going to be. Just because Ian Rappaport reports what he does, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how bad the toe is. Nobody knows. Brock might be better in 8 days. He might be out for 8 weeks. It'll probably be somewhere in between. So we don't know. My panic level with McCaffrey was higher because of the nature of the injury and the fact that because it's his calf, it could be the Achilles, and oh my goodness, it could be the whole year. It could be his career.
That's fair. I certainly was not thinking of that. Like, we had to at least get some more information before I was thinking about it being the entire year. Again, the very next day, he trotted out onto the practice field with his helmet. So, to me, this all caps text that just came through on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line is how I feel, maybe not for you, but for a lot of people. 650 texting in all caps, because fans don't really have faith in Purdy and think he's a difference maker. And so I won't speak for you, but I do feel that. The panic level of the idea of Christian being out hit people as a way, way bigger blow than the idea of Brock Purdy missing time. There are other aspects of this. I like your point. Maybe the Christian thing felt like, oh God, he's never going to play again. Also, at that time, the Niners were 0-0. Now they're 1-0. That's different. They've got a game in hand, a bird in hand. Some people think road division wins are worth two. So our perspective is always changing, but I do think it's also fair for me to point out what I'm pointing out. I started off the show by saying, tell me you don't actually really think Brock Purdy's a great quarterback without telling me that you don't actually think Brock Purdy's a great quarterback. I feel that today.
Well, you're putting those thoughts into other people's head. And
no, I'm responding to what I'm hearing.
Well, you're responding to what you're hearing by putting thoughts in other people's head, because I don't think any different about Brock Purdy. My whole opinion is based on Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan. No. I still think Brock is really good. Mac is not as good as Brock Purdy. The fact that I am not that disheveled or that moved by the fact that Brock is going to be out doesn't have a lot to do with my feelings about Brock Purdy.
Well, that's fine, and you're one person, and I'm not directing this all at you by any stretch. You just spoke to what it was last week when you heard the Christian thing. From what I heard from people I talked to last week, this week, I think there is a very clear difference in panic level, and I would actually suggest to you that, and I think we talked about this, to me, a Brock Purdy-Brian Robinson combo, I would take over a Mac Jones-Christian McCaffrey combo, if needed over a long period of time, every single day of the week.
Yeah, not
every
me.
Every day of the week.
Not me.
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I think it's close, but, you know, you look at week one, who was the more impactful player, McCaffrey or Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy, not
I think
even
it was
close.
Christian McCaffrey,
not
he had 31
close.
Touches, and right. he, without George Kittle, he became the majority of the offense. And the offensive line didn't create a lot of holes, and he was able to go out there and make it happen.
He averaged 3 yards a carry.
Right.
Brock Purdy hit him for 9 balls with the highest pressure rate that he's ever faced in his career.
And a lot of those were, you know, check downs and shorter throws, and McCaffrey was able to make a lot out of it. So,
and McCaffrey totally bottled up on the final drive.
And you won't have Brock Purdy in this game, and you most likely will have Christian McCaffrey, you know, the entirety of the game. And you're going to be leaning on McCaffrey now with Brock Purdy out even more than you did last week when you gave him 31 touches.
Yeah, well, I mean, the touch thing, again, that has to do with time of possession and so many different things. But I understand what the stats of it were. But if you really dive deep into what the Niners needed when they were down with 3 minutes to go, Christian barely did anything on that drive. Brock Purdy brought them down the field. He hit Ricky Pearsall. He hit Tonjes a couple of times. Christian averaged 3 yards a carry. Christian had a nice game. It helped fantasy teams if you were in a PPR. Christian was not amazing, and Brock was not amazing. But what happened in the end of the game, like to me, was, yeah, I would much rather have the quarterback. I'm always going to rather have
the
quarterback.
Yeah. And what happened at the end of the game, you said it yourself, was
a break.
You called it luck.
They got a lucky break.
Greg Cosell called it luck until I had to correct him that it wasn't luck. And he agreed that luck was probably the bad choice of words. So, you know, you call it luck, and then you lean on Brock Purdy. He basically threw the ball mostly up for grabs on that play.
Tonjes
made a play.
Not a good idea.
And if you look at the end of the first half, he made the exact same throw, which, I mean, that thing could have been intercepted. It was a third down play.
Which one?
The end of the first half.
Okay.
He threw the same ball. He threw it a lob ball up for grabs into the corner. Nobody caught it. You had two defenders running for it.
Oh, I remember that one.
And then Jake Moody came out and missed the field goal right after
that. It was out of reach.
It
was out of reach.
But it wasn't a throw it away out of bounds.
No, it didn't get out of bounds.
It was a throw it away.
I do remember.
Like, that was a little bit of a scary throw, and it was almost the same throw as the Tonjes one that he caught.
Like, do y'all think Christian is more important to this offense than Brock? I mean, to me, like, we can get into that if you want. Good Lord. I mean, if this was, again, fair point that you make about the Christian feeling might have been that it was going to be like season ending, career ending, all of the thoughts that went through our head last week, that's fair. But if you told me right now, Christian's out 2 weeks or Brock is out 2 weeks, which one would you take? Good Lord. I'd trade Christian for Brock for 2 weeks right now in a heartbeat. In a second. Every time.
Yeah, not me.
Okay.
Especially in this situation where you've got Mac Jones, a guy who I think can step in and be more of a suitable backup. And if you have Brian Robinson.
Running back room too.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you got Brian Robinson, who you're just going to lean on him for 31 touches, or you're going to go to Isaac Garendo, who got no offensive snaps.
All of them.
To me, that's a bigger step down than going to Mac Jones, a guy who he's got. This will be his 50th start as a quarterback, a guy who's actually been out there and done it, and whether or not Shanahan had a crush on him in the draft or not, he's a guy who they clearly liked this offseason.
He liked him. He liked
and they
him.
Liked him in March when they rushed out in the free agent market and gave him a pretty good size contract for a backup quarterback.
Let's go to John and Benicia. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm going to have to be with Diddley on this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that in terms of a safety valve, and I mean, Christian McCaffrey's your security blanket, and to me, you don't replace the binky. I mean, you can buy another toy, and that's Purdy. But I think what's going to be really interesting is that Diddley, if what you're saying comes true over the next, let's say he's out 3 or 4 games, and Mac looks impressive, how much are we going to regret giving away that $50 million?
That probably not at all.
Well, John, what I find interesting is the fact that you're even asking that question already, and that's what I'm trying to sort of say today. Without it sounding like I'm being offensive, and thank you, John, to Mac Jones. But do you notice that? Like, we're already asking, could Mac Jones take the job? But he hadn't even taken a snap yet.
Right, he's not taking the job. Well, if he's out 5 weeks and he goes 5-0, and the Niners are 6-0, and Brock Purdy's toe is finally all better and the shoulder's better, he starts.
Of course he does.
He starts the next game. So
of course.
I don't think that you're going to get into regret. Now, if Brock Purdy comes back and they immediately lose 4 in a row, and you know we're going to be doing a ton of radio about Mac or Brock or Mac, but I don't think the team is anywhere close or will be anywhere close to regret of the contract that hasn't even kicked in yet.
Right. If that happens, I'm just going to become a Warriors correspondent, and somebody else can do this with you. I don't even want it. That scenario you just played out, that's a nightmare.
Yeah,
a nightmare, and it's not going to happen. But anyway, do you see, like... That's what I'm getting at. And if that's how you feel about Brock, that's how you feel about Brock. But the idea that any fan with a 1-0 football team and the new contract in hand, with a turf toe injury now here, their head would already go to, hey, if Mac Jones wins the next 3 or 4 games, do you regret the contract? To me, you have to at least admit, if you're one of the people who feels that way, you have to admit you're not 100% sold yet on Brock. And that's okay.
You can be sold on him, but you can also be thinking that you gave him too much money.
Yeah.
And I guess that...
You can think that.
Because you gave him $53 million, which starts next year. He's only making $9 million this year, but next year when that $53 million kicks in, you're going to have to make some roster moves probably, and you did this past offseason... Moves that you had to make because you can't afford guys. And you did that with Banks, a guard who you probably would have liked to keep, and you couldn't keep him because he was making too much money. He got a free agent deal that you couldn't afford, and so he's gone. So the money that you have to pay Brock, that becomes more of a regrettable thing next year.
Yeah, but we're 0 games into the era of him not playing and already asking the question, and that to me, there's stuff tucked in there. That's all.
There's time for that on Monday. Well, I mean, Mac goes to New Orleans and they win, 24-13, and Mac throws for 280 and 2 touchdowns. People are going to call in on Monday and say, "Eh."
Exactly what Brock just did. He just threw for 280 and 2 touchdowns.
And 2 interceptions as well. Yeah,
absolutely. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Here's one that I would love to address real quick. We'll keep going on the phones. Would you rather, would you swap out Christian and Brock if you could? I sure would. But this text just came in, 925. And there's no way for me to prove this the same way there's no way to prove your point. But I think it's a fun discussion. The text says, we had Brock every game last year and no McCaffrey, and how'd that work out? Well, all I can do is give you my opinion on how it would have worked out. And I would say that if it had been Christian, if Christian had played last year, I still think they're 6-11. And here's why. First of all, they had the leading rusher in the NFL while they were about 2/3 of the way through the season. They had the leading rusher in the NFL. So it's not like the person filling in for Christian went out there and was awful. And I will continue to stand on any soapbox I can find to tell you that the Niners were 6-11 last year because they could not stop the run on defense. That was their number one problem, and Christian would not have fixed that. So that's kind of where I sit, and that's why, Mac is in and Brock are in a better spot this year, it seems, than anybody would have been last year. I also think we need to pause with the whole, the Niners have a great defense. Like, we have too many opinions that are based on 1 week right now.
Right. I have no idea. Opponent too.
I have no idea who these teams are. I don't know that the Saints suck out loud.
Well, we'll see.
I think they do.
What Seattle's like at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, they don't play Seattle again until week 18, which is kind of a weird bookend of the schedule. But Seattle might not be very good, and they might be still figuring out how to run the ball. And I think they changed out their entire offensive line, or almost the entirety of their offensive line.
And they have a defensive head coach.
Right. So week one is probably not going to be indicative of who they're going to be come week 18, and we'll find that out. And New Orleans might be better than we think, and they're certainly going to try to run the ball with Kamara. We know that.
Travis in San Jose is next. Hi, Travis. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
We're fantastic, Travis. How are you?
Day in San Jose, going to take my kid to First Tee Golf, but just wanted to chime in.
Let's go.
You guys know, you know, it's really about Kyle Shanahan, guys. Nothing to worry about. You got Brock Purdy a couple days out. You got Christian McCaffrey, but, you know, stop going around in circles because it's just going to be about Kyle Shanahan and X's and O's.
So, Travis, I'm down with that opinion because you're admitting sort of like the two options that I threw out there. You're saying that you think Kyle Shanahan is an absolutely elite coach. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. So then we're good here. Again, that's all. Travis, thank you very much. That's all I said. For those of you who see a Brock Purdy 2 to 5 week injury, and you shrug your shoulders and you go, eh. I believe you're saying one of two things, and you get to pick which one. You either really don't think Brock is all that. By the way, that's fine. You can think that. A lot of people do. Or you're saying Kyle Shanahan is uber elite.
Or
and you can also say
you're
that.
Saying that Mac Jones is not as bad as everyone thinks. I think that's the third part that. And you keep leaving that out because you don't think that.
I don't buy that one.
Right. That's what I'm. Well, you don't have to buy it. It's my opinion. So I'm not trying to sell it to you, and I don't need you to purchase it. It's my opinion that Mac Jones is better than you think, and the combination of Kyle and Mac is good enough to where, I'm not super panicked over the fact they don't have Brock Purdy.
But again, you combine it with Kyle.
Of course.
My point.
You combine everything with Kyle.
What evidence do you have?
Look at Jimmy Garoppolo without Kyle.
Right.
He stinks.
Right.
He was great with Kyle. He stunk when he didn't have Kyle. So everything connects with Kyle.
So then you are picking one of my options, which is Kyle is uber elite.
The third option, part of it, is Mac Jones. Because when you had Josh Dobbs, I didn't feel this way.
What's the
evidence? When you had Brandon Allen, I didn't feel this way.
I want to explore that. There's no evidence.
He's never played a real game with Kyle Shanahan. No, okay. So there's no evidence.
But your point was that you think Mac is not as bad as others
think.
That's
right.
Based on?
What I've seen. Watching him play football.
Okay.
Watching Mac Jones. And the fact that Kyle Shanahan either reportedly wanted to draft him or didn't want to draft him. One thing I do know, they went out on the first day of free agency and gave him guaranteed money to be the backup, which tells me that Kyle Shanahan likes him. Whether or not he wanted to draft him in 2021, that to me is water under the bridge. I don't even care.
He likes him.
I know he likes him because they just gave him guaranteed money.
He liked him then, too.
They gave him $5 million guaranteed to be the backup.
Yeah.
So that tells me that Kyle thinks that he is a good enough quarterback to be QB2. So that is the evidence.
I've always agreed with you that Mac Jones is a high-level backup. Like, again, the best evidence is we can't even name most of the backups in the NFL.
Well, I have the list right here if you want.
I know. Well, that's because you did a deep dive.
Well, I did it, and I wanted to do it, and I wanted to look at how many backups in the league currently have started more games in the NFL than Mac Jones.
Ooh.
How many do you think? Because I ran through every team's backup.
That's a fun question.
Every team has a backup.
Yes.
And of the backups, 32 backups.
Every life has a story.
Of 31 backups, not including Mac Jones.
Okay, the other 31.
How many of the 31 have more starts than McCorkle Jones?
And the number of that is 49.
49.
Well, 49.
He's 20 and 29.
Which is super appropriate and really unfortunate that he's going to ruin it this week.
Kind of.
Got 49 starts.
And I'll give you just one clue. There are four backups who have never started a game.
Okay.
Gabriel, Milton, Dart, and Shuck.
Yeah, like I'm trying to even think it. Like
I know one immediately.
Is Mariota somebody's backup?
Correct.
Okay.
That, 74 starts.
Yeah, that one came to mind.
You mentioned the Biscuits earlier.
Is Carson Wentz somebody's backup?
Put on the board. Okay. 94 starts.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
How about, ooh-wee.
I don't know what that means.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh.
That's the one I was thinking.
You like that?
Yeah. Okay,
Kirk Cousins. He started 159
yeah,
games.
Yeah, a billion games.
The Ginger Ninja.
Oh, Andy Dalton?
On the board?
I thought, is he?
Carolina's.
I thought he was hurt. But is he out?
I
don't, is he the
backup
right now? I was
looking at the, okay. The R Lads depth charts.
Got it.
Teddy right. KGB, 65 starts. Teddy Bridgewater.
I thought he
Tampa
thought
Bay.
He didn't retire? Teddy Bridgewater?
I got him in Tampa.
Right now?
I mean, I looked at him earlier. You know what I mean? Okay. The whole bit might be dying
I'm,
here.
No, I'm sure you're
dying
right.
On the vine.
I'm sure you're right. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Here. Can we put this on hold? Take
sure.
The music down. I'm not done with this. And I do want to, I'll share what I think I might potentially know about what Kyle
okay.
Thought of Mac Jones in the draft. All right? We'll do that coming up next. And we'll keep taking your calls. Would you trade? Would you swap out Christian and Brock? If you could, just for a couple games. 888-957-957 is the number. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep ball. Oh,
somehow they blew the coverage. It's Bourne to the end zone. One play later.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Was that America's most underrated QB wide receiver combo? Was that Mac Jones to Kendrick Bourne?
Mac to Bourne, there you go.
Give me some of that.
Heat it up.
Give me some of that.
You might have it on Sunday in New Orleans. Jawan Jennings did not practice today. Neither did Trent Williams with the knee. It's one thing to have a vet day.
Yeah.
It's another thing to have another day, which is not a vet day, and you don't practice. But
I think Trent is always good. He's never going to practice on Wednesday. I don't think there's going to be that many Thursdays in there either. I don't even know. I don't think they think Trent needs to practice at all.
Right.
You have no camp, no Wednesdays, some Thursdays.
Yeah.
You show up on Friday, get
sure.
A coffee. Whatever, Trent.
See if he shows up on Sunday, this Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean.
I know. You just took a shot at him. I got it.
I took a shot because on Sunday, this past Sunday, he wasn't very good.
Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
I always will. Okay. And I stand on it. I stand on business. I say it with my chest. He was not great on Sunday.
No, he wasn't.
You don't need him to practice, but it would be nice if he could come out Sunday and play like the Hall of Famer he's going to be. With a backup quarterback and no tight end.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be swell.
That would be super. It would be super. All right, we're going to go to the phones. I will tell you all about what I think I might know about the Niners and the draft when Trey Lance and Mac Jones were both in it. The lovely Christy's listening. She'd like to add this point in, and I think it's a very good one. Part of the reason everybody freaks out, I know you don't want to hear this, America, but part of the reason the freak out is bigger for Christian McCaffrey than it is for Brock Purdy is because Christian means a hell of a lot more to all your fantasy teams than Brock does. Like, that's just reality. And there are so many fans, and you know that I watch this in my own house. There are so many fans masquerading as fans of a team. But when you sit down on Sunday, it's not your first thought. And that's okay. I'm not coming down anybody's road for that. But that's part of it. Christian McCaffrey is a bigger name, a bigger presence, more of a fantasy player, more well-traveled, bigger star, whatever, more famous wife. Like, that's Christian flipping McCaffrey. But that's just maybe this is my bias. And it's not a Brock bias, it's a quarterback bias. You let me keep my quarterback over anyone else on the field, period. If I've got a good one, And I believe the 49ers do.
For me, it comes down to who your backup is. And Brian Robinson Jr., he's a good backup, no doubt. I don't know if they're going to be the best two-man tandem in all of the NFL like Brian Robinson like Jr. said they would be. Ultimately, you got to go out there and prove it. But for me, if you have a backup quarterback who is serviceable, and this guy is, in my opinion, and you know we can run through all the 32 backups and we can rank them and bore everyone to tears, he's up there among the best backups, and they think so because they gave him a nice chunk of change to come in and be the guy who they might need, and turns out they need him now.
I'm mad at myself for not thinking of Jimmy Garoppolo.
I know,
when
right?
Going through your list.
I was going through my list of quarterbacks who have more starts than Mac Jones.
Jim's during the break is going through the list, and I'm like,
see it.
I didn't think of Jimmy. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got more than that.
Put on the board.
Yeah.
And in fact, he has by far among backup quarterbacks the best winning percentage.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
No, not the most. The most is Kirk Cousins, who has started 159 games, and he's a backup. I'm sorry, Andy Dalton, 168 games.
You like that?
I do. I've come to
Garoppolo,
really, I like Kirk.
Garoppolo, 43 and 21. He's got a 67% winning percentage.
43 and 21?
As a starter.
I'm actually surprised that the game number isn't higher. He's only started 64 games?
Yeah, and if you remember his time here, he took over and he got about six, and then the next year he got hurt early,
right.
Came back, started them all, came back, got hurt early,
yep.
And then that was about it.
I mean, and he had started two in New England. And then obviously he was the starter in Vegas for a little while, and then Devontae Adams signed a deal with Netflix, and Jimmy will never start another game again.
That's kind of the way that went, yeah. Although he might start.
It might be
Mac Jones against Jimmy Garoppolo, Thursday Night Football. I don't know the theme because it's now on Amazon.
Please, NFL.
Battle the backups in week five?
I'd say yes, but that also means Brock's doing the full five, and I'm not rooting for that no matter what. But if that were to happen... Jimmy versus Mac, who was the guy that Kyle reportedly moved up to replace Jimmy with in the draft, but then didn't actually do it. So here's what I've come to believe, and this comes from a conversation.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. I do, and you can call this irresponsible, and I'd kind of agree with you. But the thought is that indeed the 49ers did do all of their homework. Whatever this was, 4 years ago, 5 years
2021.
Ago.
2021.
They did all of their homework on all five quarterbacks. Everybody knew Trevor Lawrence was going number one, but they did all their homework on all five quarterbacks. And they, in that moment, knowing that they wanted a quarterback on a rookie deal, and they did not want Jimmy Garoppolo to be their quarterback anymore, they grew to a spot where they were comfortable with three of the other four. Therefore, indeed, they did move up, not knowing exactly who they were going to take, not knowing exactly who the Jets were going to take at number two. I think they had it on pretty good authority that it was going to be Zach Wilson, but you don't know what's happening at number two until you know. Maybe somebody else trades up to number two and grabs somebody else. So if you do think about where they moved up, it actually makes sense. You can't move up to number three with one person in mind. You don't know if that person's going to be available. Who knows?
So who are they uncomfortable with?
Justin Fields.
There you go. So you're thinking...
They were comfortable with Zach Wilson. They were comfortable with Trey Lance. They were comfortable with Mac Jones. I think there was a Mac lean, but it was only a lean. It was not an obsession, as it has often been reported.
But if it was a Mac lean and you trade up to three, why not take Mac Jones if you're leaning that way?
Because he got convinced otherwise based on multiple factors, including how well Trey performed in the sort of the mental side of it. They sit down with these guys and they go through mock plays and mock situations and the reading of the defenses and all that. And Trey crushed it. Trey crushed it. And then I think there were probably other voices in the organization that were like, somebody who can run would be fun. We'd like somebody who can run. And so there was discussion and then that's the way it went. And in the end, I don't know that there was even some people say, well, there's no wrong answer. In this case, I don't know that there was a right answer. None of the quarterbacks have gone on to be great. You know, none of them have grabbed the job and stuck with it. Mac Jones, no job.
Trevor Lawrence has grabbed the job and stuck with it.
The other four. Zach Wilson, backup.
Zach Wilson, 12-21 as a starter.
Right.
Mac is 20-29, and now on his fourth team.
Oddly, the only starter is the one you didn't want.
Right, Justin Fields. And you know, Trey Lance, 2-3 as a starter. He's on my backup list as well. So in that draft, which was only 4-plus years ago, you've got Trevor Lawrence and the rest of them, Justin Fields, and the other three are backups.
Right.
And lucky to be backups.
Although Justin is on team three and was a backup just last year.
Exactly. Yeah. And might be a backup again pretty soon.
Well, we'll see. Depends on how it goes.
Great start,
that was he did what he needed to do last week. If he does that all year, even if their record's not good, he's going to stick.
Agreed, yeah.
He played well.
No doubt.
He played really well last week.
And he's, you know, the kind of dual threat that you would be looking for. But just thinking about that Garoppolo-Mac Jones possible matchup, if you get to that situation and Brock Purdy's not back yet, I don't know why you'd want to rush him back for a Thursday night game. I know it's divisional and on the road and the rest of it, but...
It depends on the toe,
but if you don't play him then he gets an additional 10 days of rest time.
Yeah, yeah. No, obviously. You'll factor all that in, but I think at 53, 52, whatever it is, million dollars, when you're ready, you play. Period.
Well, that's how Kyle does it with everyone.
Absolutely.
Which is why McCaffrey got 31 touches.
Yep.
Your calf's okay? I'm not going to bubble wrap you or baby you. You're going to go out there and get the ball as much as we need.
707 Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. CMC is way more important to us than Brock. Look, I know that a lot of you feel that way. I'm well aware of that. Hello. And we can keep talking about that. I don't agree with you, but I know that a lot of 49er fans feel that way. And that's really the only thing I'm pointing out today. That's it. I haven't said anything offensive. I think that the sound of the Brock Purdy out 2 to 5 weeks by week two, to me, sounds lighter and softer than it should, lighter and softer than I feel. And I feel that that is evidence of, A, there are a lot of you who don't think Brock Purdy is the bee's knees. And then there are a lot of you who, even though you won't admit it, you think Kyle is that dude. You think that Kyle Shanahan is that dude. A lot of you love to rip on him. And, oh, he doesn't know the rules, and he's stupid, and he loses Super Bowls. You think he's that dude, which is why you all think you could, like, he's the whisperer. He can bring in Sam Darnold and reboot his career and bring in Mac Jones and reboot his career, and he can win football games even without his quarterback. There's no other coach on the planet you would say that about. None of you think the Chiefs are big dogs with Gardner Minshew. No, you don't think that. I don't hear anybody think that. Nobody thinks John Harbaugh's awesome if Lamar gets hurt with whoever the hell his backup is. I don't even know.
I have it right here.
Who is it?
A guy named Rush.
Cooper Rush.
9-5 as a starter.
Dallas's backup the last few years.
And again, for me, it's a little bit of a different conversation when you go to Cooper Rush from Lamar Jackson, because Cooper Rush will not assimilate or approximate what Lamar does. Mac Jones can do that. Mac Jones, according to Greg Cosell and others, is the kind of quarterback who fits in with the Kyle system. He plays a lot like Brock Purdy, not as athletic, but he's that type of a quarterback.
I think that what Greg's, just my opinion.
We can play the sound. I'm sure we have it.
I think what Greg said has been a little misconstrued. When he said he plays like Brock Purdy, I don't think he meant, I know he used the word stylistically.
Right.
I think what he meant, and we would have to ask Greg to know for sure, but how I took it was both Brock Purdy and Mac Jones are very, very based in, I'm going to go out there and do what the coach tells me to do. Like, one thing that was interesting in Jacksonville, and I think Rick Belue even said this to us an hour ago, Trevor Lawrence is number one pick in the draft, and he makes $55 million. And so when he goes in there and the coach says, do this, Trevor might respond and be like, yeah, but what about this? Mac Jones is not built that way. I don't think Brock Purdy is built that way. I think that they trust Kyle Shanahan and they want to go do exactly. Coach, okay, got it. I'm going to do it. And I think that that's what Greg meant. I could be wrong. But I didn't take it as anything sort of physical, because I don't think they're very similar at all. They both want to throw the ball from the pocket. Mac has to throw the ball from the pocket. He can't get outside the pocket. I stylistically think he meant almost more mentally than physically.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. And, you know, I'm just taking his words and hearing what he said. And he talked about, you know, stylistically, the two quarterbacks are very similar. And whether or not that's not wanting to improvise, well, Brock Purdy sure improvises a lot. And you've seen it many times where, you know, he'll scramble, he'll run around, even the play to Tonjes. That was not the way that plan was drawn up.
That's after the snap. I'm talking about when they go out, like, there's no sort of, hey, coach, what if we did this? It's more like, okay, got it, we're going to go do it. That's what I mean. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, NHD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.